In 2024, Commonwealth Engineers celebrates 50 years of water resource engineering excellence. In that time, we have helped countless Indiana communities with their most challenging water resource needs, including engineering design, construction engineering, financing, regulatory, and operations assistance. Contact us to see how we can help your community's infrastructure needs. Learn more at CommonwealthEngineers.com. Welcome to AIM Hometown Innovations Podcast. This podcast is designed to offer insights, best practices, and innovative solutions for the challenges facing Hoosier cities and towns. Each edition will offer ideas and inspiration while showcasing the talent and commitment of Indiana's local leaders. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to the AIM Hometown Innovations Podcast. I'm Matt Greller with AIM. Today, I am joined by someone who is a true legend, I think, among municipal officials these days, Robin Brangard, president of the Plainfield Town Council. Robin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Robin, we've done some deep diving into your history with the town, and the stories about your service go on and on and on. But just a few facts that I think you'll know what I'm talking about to put your service into perspective. In 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. Pac-Man was released. John Lennon was assassinated. And the population of Plainfield was just a little over 9,000. Robin, what does that all coincide with?
Coincides with me taking office in January of 1980.
I don't think much of the AIM staff was not even born in 1980, Robin. So that is a true testament, I think, to your work for the town and your dedication to the community. And you've seen it grow from, well, what is the population today in Plainfield, roughly?
Somewhere over 36,000.
No, it's become a real destination area. It's become a hub of economic commerce. It's just really interesting to watch the growth of the community over the years. So for those in our audience that are not as familiar with Plainfield as you, Robin, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the story and what Plainfield looks like today and what you tell folks about why it's so good and a great place to live in.
I would be happy to. As you said, I took office in 1980, and I'm the first to admit I did not expect to be more than one term in office. But I soon found out you don't learn much in one term. You keep learning, and it's been a learning experience all the way through. But from the town perspective, we've always put the population first, the citizens. And in our town council meetings, we always have a place soon after we've conducted most of our business for citizen input. And we've always had it set up. Anybody can come in at any time and ask anything. You don't have to get on the, quote, agenda in order to speak. And that has always worked well. When we've had issues, we take care of them. And I think that goes back to the longevity. Plainfield's a very stable community. We've got all strata of income within the community. And when you look at the soccer and football and baseball fields, you can see everybody working together and making sure the kids can grow and prosper. And it's been a good run so far, but we recognize the fact for various reasons that we had to grow the AV for the town. So as we, the first 10 years, we talked about it a lot. 1990, we had a developer come out and work together, and we opened our first industrial park, and it just grew from there. And as the developer said, and when I talked to him, says, we like coming to Plainfield because you're business friendly, but that doesn't mean they could walk over us. So it's as I instructed the staff and the town managers, I said, you have to know when to walk away from a deal you're working on, and don't be afraid to do that. And
you know, you mentioned the industrial part, Robin. I think you embracing this logistics approach to developing the town of Plainfield and really becoming a hub for logistics has made a huge difference. And we know that you already mentioned some of them. We'll get into this here in just a minute. But Plainfield's had a rich history of pushing for quality of place type projects, parks, and things like that. But it was really that embracing being a center for logistics that probably excelled the growth of Plainfield to what it is today. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a very fair assessment. It was a case of being able to grow the AV and then use it through the application of TIF. And that has allowed us to do other things in town. I mean, we've got a large sports complex for the kids that was mostly paid for through TIF. And our aquatics center was paid in recreation, and that was paid through TIF. And when you come down to it, our new town hall or government center and performing arts center was back with TIF.
You know, I can remember back when you talk about the aquatics center, and I remember your former town manager, Rich Carlucci, talking to us about that years ago. And that was really the first one in the state, first major investment like that. And there have been countless others. I know, you know, Rich was a huge advocate of the parks and trails, as you have been as well. What has that meant to the community? You've sort of led the way in sort of those quality of place type developments over the years.
Well, that comes back. I've always been somewhat recognizing the region, and we've got to be able to work regionally so that everybody grows with the region as it grows. But when we built that Recreation Aquatic Center, which is now called the Rich Carlucci Recreation and Aquatic Center, we were looking at the needs of the town, and over the years we had a lot of activity from the citizens wanting to know when we would have a swimming pool in town again. And we looked at the market and we built the aquatic center. And the day we opened it, I asked the director of the parks at that time, I said, now remind me again what population we built this for. And he said, well, we built it for the 20-year growth of Plainfield. Well, we missed it because it was full and stayed full from day one. So, and again, it's a case of we forgot the region. It became a regional draw. And a lot of what we have done has some of it purposely, but a lot of it inadvertently has become a regional draw for the town. You mentioned the parks. Several years ago, the airport was wanting to divest itself of property. So we bought 2,000 acres from the airport on the southeast side of Plainfield. That's being developed into a park that'd be somewhat like a state park. And Spring Mill is a good example of what we're kind of looking at from when we develop it. But we've got another piece of that. There are bats that live in there, and it's a bat habitat. So we've got to work with the DNR with our planning on what we're doing. And it's a challenge, but we're just about ready to take it off. So
is it the Indiana bat? I can't imagine how many projects the Indiana bat has influenced, I will say, over the years.
It is the Indiana bat. Yes.
Yeah, I figured. Well, Rich, I mentioned earlier that, you know, you've been in your position for 40 years now, 40 plus years, really. And, you know, you've always got to strike a balance between we've always done things that way and being innovative. You know, Plainfield's been at the forefront of hiring top-notch town managers over the years, which is not something that every community has done along the way, every town. You've been at the forefront recently of legislative changes to address financial management of the town, things like that. So how do you balance that over your tenure of sort of pushing for innovative things, but making sure the tried and true services are delivered at the same time?
I think it falls back into what I termed like dealing with developers. It's got to be a win-win situation. We always look, the developers want the town to take the risk. The town wants developers to take the risk. But together we can both share the risk and go forward. And that's the same way my message to the staff of the town. It says, don't be afraid to think outside the box. But we have to keep the citizens in front. If I use an example from a planning standpoint where somebody will bring something in and it doesn't fit the rules, so to speak. And I've always told the staff, I said, it's okay to tell somebody that doesn't work. But when you say that, let's add a piece that, let's sit down and see how we can make it work. And that has been very successful. We don't, you can't win all the time, but we work to make sure that those who come in and want to do something, or a lot of times it's just no more than adding something to their house that doesn't quite fit the meets and bounds, but sometimes we figure out a way to get it done.
You know, it was a long time ago, Robin, when I was still in college and I ventured up to Plainfield to meet my now wife, who was working at the Dairy Queen on US 40 a long, long time ago. You know, the changes have been dramatic. You know, as we wrap up our podcast here today, what, you know, I've seen tremendous growth, a number of great projects happen, and as you have as well in Plainfield, but what are some of your most favorite, you know, particularly those that focus on placemaking and quality of life in Plainfield?
Well, I think there's a number of things. We always kind of somewhat laughed. The first trail that we built, there were people walking behind the rollers as they were rolling the asphalt for the trail. And that's where it really hit that Plainfield is really a walking community. And going back to Rich with the our attempt, and we've done it, of connecting the town with trails and sidewalks, overall trail system. So you can walk and ride your bike about anywhere you want without having to be on the road. And but I think the biggest thing is the new government center and performing arts center in what we call Civic Plaza downtown. Because the buildings are connected. And I think that makes it work and it makes it accessible for the citizens when they want to come in and do something. It was a 7-year process to get to where we're at today. And we're going to have the ribbon cutting on it Thursday. So it is very, very close to being totally completed. So I think that's the biggest thing.
You know, Robin, we in local government often take heat for building things like that. Some folks in the community will say we shouldn't be spending taxpayer money on that. But I've seen time after time over the years that if government is willing to make the investment and create, you know, the sense of community in a downtown like you're doing, that it often results in tenfold of private investment and change that happens if government sort of leads the way in that effort. Is that what you've seen in Plainfield?
I have. And my overall philosophy has always been government can't do, but we can facilitate getting something done. And that is what has worked in Plainfield. If there's something that, and I'm saying overall, if the citizens want something and we can figure out a way to do it, to put a little public money with the private sector putting a lot more money in, we can get what everybody wants. And that participatory development has worked well.
You know, Robin, as we were chatting before recording this podcast today, you told me something I didn't realize, that back in the earlier part of your career that you were involved with then the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns, now we're AIM, Board of Directors, and you also had some involvement at the national level with the National League of Cities. You want to talk a little bit about that and how that was important?
Yes, that was being, and this goes back to, I'll probably tag some more on it, of believing in regionalism and that we need to work together and learn from each other. And as you said earlier in my career, I was on the IAC board. And during that time, I was also appointed to one of the National League of Cities boards that they had. And that was, it was interesting from the standpoint that when you go around the country and meet in different areas, you soon find that we're not unique in the issues we have. Everybody has the same issues to a greater or lesser extent. And working with them and conversing it, you pick up things that you can bring back and use. And when I also add on to that, I'm pretty active in the Indy Chamber also currently with their couple of various committees, and that comes back into the regional piece. If you don't pay and play, you don't get the benefits. So it's we've got to keep doing that, and I think that's very important for everybody. You've got to look at what's around you and work with that for the greater good.
Robin, I certainly appreciate your joining us here on the podcast today. You've been a stalwart in the community of Plainfield. You've been a, as we've mentioned before, a legend among local government officials. You even got a special shout out at our legislative dinner the other night for your years of service. So thank you very much for joining our podcast, and we look forward to working for you and with you for at least another 4 years.
I appreciate that, and thank you for inviting me.